Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
And if you have your Bible, turn with me today to Amos chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Amos chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. When was the last time you read from the book of Amos? Well, it's been a while, right? Before we get started, I want to take a moment like I do every week, and that's to glorify the name of Jesus above every other name. This morning we've gathered to lift up one name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ, our eternal King. When you leave here this morning, don't leave talking about, oh, that was good, or I like that, or I didn't like that. Just leave lifting up one name, and that's the name of Jesus. And if you leave lifting up his name, then we did our job, because we are here to give all glory and all praise back to him. We don't want his praise. We don't want his glory. We want to reflect it right back into the person of Jesus. You down with that? Awesome. I'm going to pray over you. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your presence today. And your word declares in Psalm 118 that this is the day that the Lord has made, and in it I will rejoice and be glad. Lord, this morning we choose to rejoice and be glad in you today. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to saturate this place, touch our hearts and our lives this morning, and I pray that your word would come alive to us, and Lord, that you would do the work that only you can do in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. This morning, we are continuing into week 2 of our vision series here at our church, and we're talking to you about the vision behind our church. If you missed last week, I talked about why. Why are we here? Why are we planted in the city of churches? Why are we here in Charlotte? If you missed week 1, I want to really encourage you to go check out the podcast. You can go to iTunes and type in Vision Church, yes, with a Z. We spelled it wrong on purpose, but the story behind it is amazing. And so check it out on podcast. And if you can't do that, watch it on visionchurch.com. You'll be able to get totally caught up. But for the sake of time, I am going to give you just a really quick recap of week 1 because it's the foundation of where we're going today. Last week, we asked the question, why are we here? Why is Vision Church planted here? And we discovered that Charlotte is obviously growing at an exponential rate. The Charlotte Business Journal recently released a publication that said that over the next 20 years, the Charlotte population is expected to grow by nearly 47%. And by the year 2030, there will be over 2.7 million people in the Charlotte metropolitan region. How many of you know that's good for business? That's bad for traffic. Bad for traffic is not going to get any better. All right, so, but Charlotte is a rapidly growing area, and it's growing from people from all over the country and all over the world. And an even more startling statistic, although the city is growing in population, it is not growing in spirituality. Recent studies have uncovered that 50.4% of Charlatans identify themselves as non-Christian or no religious affiliation whatsoever. That's one out of every two people in this city identify themselves as non-believers. How many of you understand that it's commonplace in this world that we live in to say, well, all roads lead to heaven. You know, it doesn't matter if you serve Allah, Muhammad. It doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist. It doesn't matter. But I'm here today to tell you that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ, the King. Nobody else demonstrated the power over the grave. I wouldn't place my eternal security in the hands of a God or a prophet who was unable to save themselves. the Christ that we exalt, the Jesus that we serve and preach from here, is the same one who died on Calvary's cross and 3 days later was resurrected in power and in glory, demonstrating power over hell, death, and the grave. There is something that differentiates our faith from all others on the planet, and we will unashamedly declare the truth and the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ the King. You can say, well, you know, these other people, if they're good people, well, God will understand. There is only one way to the Father, and that is straight through the Son. And although we live in Charlotte, North Carolina, the city of churches, we live in a modern-day mission field where one out of every two people are unbelievers and lost without Jesus. That's why we're here. We're not here to do church and just go through the motions and just have a cute little country club. We are here on mission. We are on the front lines of finishing what Jesus started. In Matthew 28, he gave the Great Commission to go into all the earth and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are here on mission. One last point to recap last week, and then we'll move on. Our mission at Vision Church is the same mission of just about every other church in this city, to evangelize and to make disciples, the Great Commission. Otherwise, we'd be a cult, and that would be weird, and I wouldn't recommend you coming back. But our mission is the same as every other church in this city, but how we fulfill and accomplish the mission that Jesus has called us to is specific and unique to us. Just like none of you are exactly like the person sitting beside you, no church is exactly like another church. Although our mission is the same, how we accomplish the purpose that heaven has for us is unique to us. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you in week two of the Vision series, what are we here to do? What are we going to do to fulfill the mission that Jesus has called us to? If you have your Bible, look again with me to Amos chapter 3, verse 7. This morning, I'm answering the question, what are we here to do? And I'm going to talk to you over the next few moments about the long-term and the short-term vision of our church. This message is going to be a little bit different from what you're used to, but you'll be all right. You can totally handle it. Amos chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he first revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. That's all I want to read from Amos 3, 7. Amos 3 says it a little bit differently. It says it like this, that before God does anything in the earth, he first reveals it to his prophets. Before God does anything great, he reveals it first to his prophets. Now, when you hear the word prophet, a lot of times you think of, you know, something from the Old Testament, something crazy. But the word prophet literally here means a messenger. God will reveal his plan. He will reveal his purpose. He will unfold it before his messengers, before it is ever realized in the earth. In other words, God is a God who deposits vision in the hearts of his messengers. He deposits mission, purpose, direction in the hearts of his people. Before he ever does anything, he plants a vision within us. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about the long-term vision of the church, and then if we have time, we'll get to the short term. So we're going to work a little bit backward. Also keep in mind that vision is flexible. Look at your neighbor and tell them, vision is flexible. Tell them like you mean it. Vision is flexible. What I mean by that is simply this, that what you hear today might look completely different in 5 years. In 10 years, it might look totally different from what you're hearing today. But that doesn't mean that God's not in it. Because although vision is detail and it can be specific, more than anything else, God gives vision to his people for the direction of their life, for the direction of their church, for direction. That is the main reason that God allows us to see glimpses of his purpose. So vision is flexible. It might change. It might be altered a little bit along the way. But the most important thing about receiving vision from God is that it gives you direction and it sets the course of your life. It gives you direction. I want to tell you something really quickly before we jump even further in. You will not ever accidentally fulfill God's vision for your life. It will never be an accident. You won't accidentally become the man that God has destined you to be. You won't accidentally become the woman that God purposed you to be. We won't accidentally, haphazardly become the church that Christ has called us to be. You will not accidentally get there. You will get there by a plan. You have seen a vision which has given you direction, which has given you purpose, which has galvanized within your spirit. And now you are walking by faith towards the very thing in the vision that Christ has revealed within your life. You will not accidentally become a great father. You won't accidentally become a great wife. You won't accidentally become a great follower of Jesus. It happens intentionally with one decision at a time. You will not randomly end up in your destiny. The decisions that we make today affect where we'll be tomorrow. The decisions that we make as a body, as a church today, affect our impact in 5 years, 3 years, 10 years from now. We must be a people with vision. Proverbs 29:18 says it this way: where there is no vision, the people perish. And if that be the truth, which we know it is, it's the word of God, then where there is vision, there is life, there is direction, and there is purpose. We won't accidentally get there. The vision that I'm about to share with you this morning is something that I have never done in a public setting like this before. It's taken us 4 years. Our church is 4 years old, and I've never once shared this publicly here. And I want you to know that this vision that I'm about to share with you is something that simply cannot be done alone. It's not something that a few of the leaders can do. It's not something that I can do. This isn't a vision that you can sit back and just cheer me on or cheer a few people on. The pastor of Hillsong Church, Brian Houston, said it this way. He said, the church of Jesus Christ is not built on the talents of few, but it's built on the sacrifices of many. Accomplishing something great, realizing the vision that God has for this church cannot be done, as Jim was talking about, by us being spectators, us cheering somebody else on. I pray that this morning as you hear this vision, I pray this morning as it unfolds before your eyes, I pray that the Holy Spirit would ignite a passion within your heart, a passion within your spirit. I pray that He would reveal to you purpose. I believe some of you, you've been coming here for years, and I believe that today you're going to go, that is why God brought me here. That is why God aligned me here. That is the reason that God has brought us together. I pray that it galvanizes our church. I pray that it brings motivation and momentum into our church. I believe it will. God-given vision does just that. Now, I've laid the foundation, and here we go. I'm going to tell you a little story. Y'all are all right with that? A little story time? You good with that? As I was writing this down, it dawned on me that this vision was given to me literally 10 years to the day of where we are right now. When I was in Bible college in Alexandria, Louisiana, I drove 15 hours away from my home, 15 hours away from family and friends and everything that was familiar. I drove to this little town right in the middle of Louisiana, swamp, bug-infested, huge snakes and demon spiders, Louisiana, all right? I drove there not knowing hardly anybody, just a handful of people. And when I got there, I found myself alone. I found myself lonely, regretting my decision to be there, and even having conversations with God, did I make a mistake in even coming? But one night, while I was in my apartment alone, as dusk was turning into night, I wasn't asking God for direction. I know the story would be better if I was. I wasn't asking God for his guidance. I wasn't. Because I believed I already knew what God wanted me to do. I believed that I was there to be an evangelist. I was going to be another Billy Graham, going to travel around to the world and preach the gospel and let the pastors clean up the mess. But this one night, in that fall, I saw a vision. Now, this is not some freaky, super spiritual, like the room lit up and I heard a booming audible voice. Nothing like that. It was a vision that was in my mind. I was wide awake, completely awake, totally aware, and this is what I saw. So you guys are going to have to deal with my art skills, all right? So just buckle up. I hope you're ready for this. So this is going to blow your mind, what I saw now. Just I hope you're ready for this. This is what I saw. It's a triangle. Any of you ever seen that before? It's really powerful. You're like, you brought us here and you did a series for this? In the vision, I saw a triangle. But on each of the points of the triangle were three specific words. The first one was the word ministry. The second was the word service. And the third word was the word retail. Now, when I first saw this vision, I was looking at it completely perplexed, probably like many of you are looking at that right now. Because the truth is that several of those words, they go together. Ministry and service, those two words go together. That makes sense. Retail industry and service industry, those two words go together. That makes sense. But when you put them all three together, it's like, what in the world does this mean? And so I stood back and kind of scratched my head. I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I looked at it for a long time trying to figure it out, and I couldn't understand it. It made no sense to me. And then I got the bright idea that I should ask the one who gave it to me. And so I began to ask God for the understanding. God, what do you mean? What is this about? And as I prayed that prayer, God began to reveal to me that what I was looking at was a revolutionary plan to advance the kingdom of our God rapidly across the earth. What God was revealing to me was a plan that could absolutely revolutionize the way that ministry takes place and the kingdom of heaven is advanced in our generation, in our world, and across the earth. Allow me to explain just a little bit. This ministry, the word ministry right there, seeing that was the first time that God began to deposit inside of my spirit that I was called to plant a local church. This was the first moment. This was the first instance that I began to understand that another facet of God's purpose and calling for my life, apart from evangelism, was ministry within the local church. That word ministry, God began to reveal to me, it represented a calling to plant the local church. And this morning, you're sitting in it. You are sitting in a vision, something that God took from nothing and gave life. He brought something out of nothing. And this right here literally changed the course of my life. Now, I want to talk to you about the other two words that are a little bit more perplexing. The word service, as I began to seek God for understanding and revelation there, the word service represents the service industry. And more specifically, new gospel-centered service companies that exist to carry the gospel beyond the four walls of the church and into the marketplace of the world, all the while financially supporting the local church. This was a revolutionary concept that God was beginning to unfold right before me. The local church is funded off of tithes and offerings. People who follow the word of the living God and they give the first fruit, the first 10% of what they give to the Lord. And there's a whole teaching about that. And people say, well, tithing isn't scriptural and all that stuff. And while we're here, I'll just tell you, tithing is in fact not a concept that is strongly represented in the New Testament. It isn't. And so a lot of people are like, well, see there, I don't have to tithe. I don't have to. But the truth is that the New Testament believers gave abundantly and they gave generously and they gave well beyond their 10%. But this morning we've already taken the offering, so I'm not here to hit you up for money. All right? People get nervous when preachers start talking about money. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. We already took the offering. All right? When I began to see this and God began to unfold it, here's what else he began to show me. Imagine a construction company that is in the service industry. Imagine beginning, finding someone with an entrepreneurial spirit that's a licensed contractor. Imagine finding somebody that has the motivation, the drive, and the vision themselves to begin a construction company. Imagine starting it as a gospel-centered work environment, a place where honesty, integrity, and ethics reign supreme. Imagine a construction company that exists to fund and financially support the work of the ministry. Imagine what this would look like. How many ladies would like to remodel your kitchen? Can I get a witness? Any ladies would be like, I could use a new kitchen. And husbands are sitting there with their arms folded like, I don't want to. Husbands, that's where the food comes from. You want that. You want that. Any investment in the kitchen is an investment in the food, your stomach. You need this. But imagine this. But now track with me for a minute. Imagine hiring a construction company to remodel your kitchen. And when you write the check and you pay the contractor, imagine that those resources are channeled back into the church. The profits are channeled back into the church for the advancement of the gospel locally and around the world. Imagine going even a step further that this gospel-centered service company doesn't just exist to take revenue and pour it back into the church. But what if the service company was a ministry all of its own? Imagine a construction company that with the profits that come in, imagine them providing shelter for people in need in your own city. Imagine them doing the work of the gospel as a profession. Imagine. Now, some of you are like, where's this in the Bible? This isn't scriptural. I'm tired of it. Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up. You might have heard of Jesus, and he was a carpenter, and he did his work for the glory of God and for the ultimate advancement of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Look at your neighbor and tell him, even Jesus was a carpenter. Tell him like you mean it. He was. Now, I know that this might be hurting your head. This might be total. I warned you up front that this would be unconventional. I warned you. But imagine a construction company that began as a ministry all of its own. Now, here's a little bit more of the vision of this, and then we'll move on. I believe that one day we will see this come to fruition. I believe we will. And part of the vision in it is that we would adopt entire city blocks in the city of Charlotte. We would find city blocks that are gang-ridden, drug-infested, poverty-stricken, where single mothers and single parents are struggling to make it, living in conditions that are deplorable. Imagine a company that runs to meet the need of the people, and they do renovation projects for the glory of God in the name of Jesus as a ministry to these people, not charging them a dime. Imagine the kind of access that you would have with that family to share the hope and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because this world cares not at all how much you know until they know how much you care. I'm believing that this could be a ministry that totally transforms and revolutionizes the way that we evangelize and carry the gospel into the world that is around us. I believe one day we would be able to look at city blocks, entire city blocks within Charlotte, North Carolina, and you could see it overhauled on the outside. You could see it renovated on the outside and imagine the homes and the lives that would be renovated and restored and transformed on the inside. Imagine what ministry could look like beyond the walls of a church. Imagine a service industry that builds churches at cost. I could use that. Hello, thank you, Lord. Yes. I believe that this could do it. And I'm going to go just another step further here. Imagine this construction company. Imagine that it builds churches at cost. Four churches that preach the truth, that preach the word of the living God and salvation through Christ Jesus. I'm crazy enough to believe that maybe, just maybe, this could be a catalyst that sparks unity within the church of Jesus Christ, that tears down denominational barriers. If you do something and you bless another church, they're not going to be angry with you, they're not going to be divided, they're going to be open, they're going to be receptive. Could it be that this concept could be a catalyst to breaking down denominational walls and barriers where the glory of God is radiated in His church, in His people? It's incredible. And you can call me crazy if you want to, and I'm fine with that. I've been called far worse in my 29 years, edging up on 30. But I'm a firm believer that the only people who will ever change the world are the people who are crazy enough to believe that God can use them to do it. I'm a total believer. And with your life, you can play it safe if you want to. You can take your 77 years and you can play it safe if you want to. But just be prepared to get out of life what everybody else has gotten out of life. But if you want something more, if you want to see something that nobody else has ever seen, if you want to do something that nobody else has ever done, you have to be willing to go places that nobody else was brave enough or willing enough to go. It starts with us saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me." Do I understand every facet of how this works? Absolutely not. This is not my vision. This is not my plan. Number one, I'm not smart enough. Hang out with me a couple weeks, you'll figure that out. This is not my vision. This is not my plan. This is a vision that I believe with everything inside of me that was entrusted to our care. Entrusted. We are carriers of the vision of Jesus Christ. In fact, I believed in it so much that we named our church Vision Church. How about that? If you have your Bible, look with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. For those of you who say, "I don't believe it, it can't happen." What do you mean, "if I can't," Jesus asked. Anything is possible to a person who believes. Anything, all things are possible to them who believe. I'm convinced that the only people who will ever change the world are the people who are crazy enough to believe that God could use them. He could do immeasurably more than you could ever imagine, ask, or think. Now, it doesn't just stop there with a construction company in the service industry. Imagine a restaurant that exists to have a gospel-centered environment. A gospel-centered workplace For those of you who've worked in the restaurant industry, you know that's a revelation all in itself right there. Imagine that when you go in and you pay for your meal, you pay for your lunch. Imagine that those funds and those that revenue goes back into the local church, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ locally and abroad. And the restaurant also, like the construction company, takes on a mission and a ministry all of itself. And it begins to feed the hungry within its own city. It begins to show the city the love of Jesus. Not just preaches it, but shows it. The world will know us, not by our preaching, not by our fancy schemes, not by our church buildings, but by our love for one another. Imagine a restaurant that never throws food away. It donates it. It gives it out. I have a vision with this that, and you, if you don't think I'm crazy by now, might as well just keep going. But imagine food trucks that are part of this restaurant, and they roll up onto the sidewalks, places where people are impoverished, where people are in need. And instead of charging them, they just feed them in the name of Jesus. They just bless them right there as a liaison, as a way to share the gospel and the hope of glory with them in their life. And imagine that the profits of this restaurant go directly back in to the church, the local church, advancing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Can I get a witness? I'd like to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now for the word retail. The retail industry, I'm not going to spend much time here on this one, because if you understand the concepts that I'm sharing with you about the service, the retail works in an identical fashion. It exists to fund the advancement of the gospel, and it exists to employ people, and it exists to carry the gospel into the marketplaces of our world. Can I be real with you for a minute? Can I just come out from the notes and just talk to you? You might look at this and say, well, this is crazy. This is insane. And it should make you a little bit uncomfortable. It should move you. It should stir you. But I want you to think about this for a moment. And I'm not here to scare you or to say anything crazy, but I want you to think about this. There are already real conversations happening in our world today about revoking the 501c3 nonprofit status from churches, especially from churches who don't comply with the culture and the social norms. Revoking a 501c3 nonprofit status from a church means that all donations that come in are no longer tax deductible, meaning that their operations, their functions could be greatly hindered. Now look, He is the provider. No question about it. He is our provider. He is our source. He is our perfect Father. No question about it. But could it be that He is awakening and depositing vision inside of His leaders, inside of His churches, inside of His people, so that they could stay ahead of the curve of this world that it might throw their way? Could it be that Jesus is many steps ahead of His church, showing them a way to fund and find the advancement of the gospel here on earth in spite of a countercultural resistance? Could it be? I believe it. I absolutely believe it. And I don't operate in fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I believe that this vision is a glimpse of God keeping His church ahead of the curve that could come to this world. I believe it. Imagine what could happen. There would be nothing impossible to them who believe. Now look, this just scratches the surface of what is possible. It just scratches the surface. If you have your Bible, look with me really quickly to Proverbs 13:22. Proverbs 13:22. I'm going to pick up halfway through the verse. "And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Now listen, I believe with these businesses, these service industries, these retail industries, we are not going to create a business that shoves the gospel down people's throat. That, well, we're not even going to have the Christian fish in the logo. I'm tired of seeing that. Our mission is bold, but our method is subtle. You ever been to a Chick-fil-A? If you have not been to a Chick-fil-A, I question your Christianity. I'm just kidding. I love you. But if you haven't been to Chick-fil-A for real, you need to get up in there. But that is a Christian-operated business that operates with excellence. And they don't shove the gospel down people's throats. They don't do it. They finance great works of the kingdom all across the world. So if you think this is strange, you might think Chick-fil-A is strange too. I think they're on to something. They're not open on Sundays. And look, the rest of the days of the week, you can't even get in the drive-thru. I don't know, like they're like wrapped around multiple times over. Because Chick-fil-A understands something that differentiates them from their competition, and that is that they do what they do as they do it unto God. They don't do it unto men. They do it for the glory of God. And Scripture tells us that we, whatever we put our hands to, let us put it to the hands of God. Let us work for the glory of God Almighty. Let us serve Him with excellence. Let us serve Him with our best. Let us bring Him our best offering. Let us give Him our best work, our best efforts. When you have a business that operates with the spirit of excellence, people are attracted to excellence. They are attracted, they are drawn to a spirit of excellence. You say, well, where's that in the Bible? Glad you asked. It's actually found in 1 Kings chapter 10 when Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. It took them countless years to erect the temple in Jerusalem because he was determined to do it, to build it with such excellence. And he built that temple with such splendor and such grandeur that kings and queens from other nations traveled great distances just to come and behold the excellency of our God. And it opened up the door for the gospel to reach into places that otherwise were unreachable. And I believe that if we take this vision that God has given to us, and we do it with excellence as unto the Lord, creating service industries and retail industries, there is no limit. I talked about a construction company. I talked about a restaurant, but there is literally no limit. Many of you sitting in here with an entrepreneurial spirit, God has given you a vision to start a business. He's given you a vision to excel, to do something that nobody else has ever done, to be on the cutting edge of a new technology or whatever it is, a new industry. I'm telling you, there is no limit to how this can work, and there is no limit to what it can accomplish for the glory of God. No limit. Our mission is bold. Now, I'm going to draw another diagram for you this morning, and I promise I'm not going to hold you hostage. I'm not like Pharaoh in Exodus. I will let God's people go. Not original, but appropriate. Excuse the art skills, all right? Can y'all see this on this side? Can y'all see this, all right? I'll try to draw it to where you can. We definitely need Jeopardy music for this. Those are stained glass windows, by the way. This is a church. See that stained glass with the cross? Thank you. I drew it much better when I was practicing it. We put a cross there. Here's this triangle, and here's how it comes to life. This is the local church. You're sitting in it right now. This was a vision given 10 years ago. You've been coming here for 4 years, many of you. You had no idea. Well, surprise. Our church doesn't look like this one, thank God. But anyway, you're here. This is an umbrella, all right? Can we give it up for the umbrella? Could you tell that that was an umbrella? that says Christian businessmen and women. I'm going to explain this in just a second. I promise this will make sense. And this is a door right here, and this is a window. Okay, you like that? It's really hard to do this from this angle. And being 7 feet tall, I don't think helps either. So I want to explain this just a little bit more clearly. I am not suggesting that the church itself begins the businesses. Number one, that's illegal, because you have to actually pay taxes, all right? So we would assemble Christian businessmen and women, investors, together to form an outside corporation that understand this vision and this concept. And from it, we would begin the construction company. And many other companies. Restaurant is too big of a word for me to do right now, so I'm just going to put that. Rest is not rest in peace, that's restaurant, okay? Now, I want you to look at this. This corporation, comprised of Christian businessmen and women, coming together for this purpose, they not only help raise the capital to start these ventures, but they also provide the mentorship, the training, the equipping, the real life experience on how to be successful in the field that you're going into. They provide it for all of these. And in return, these businesses contribute a percentage of their profits back into the ministry, back into the work of the gospel. Now I'm going to show you why this is so powerful. I told you a few minutes ago that there is no limit to what can happen here, meaning that many of you who have an entrepreneurial spirit, you have a vision, you have a dream, it could happen. One day it could happen. And this same group helps provide you the coaching, the mentorship, and even the investment startup capital that you need to help make your vision reality. And all that you would do with your business is the same thing that the other businesses are doing, and that is with the profits that you would contribute a minimum of 10% back into the ministry. It's called tithing, giving the first 10% back to trusting God. You say, well, that sounds like an awful lot of money. Yeah, it is, and he owns it all. He controls it all. It's all his anyway, all right? You will never, and this old preaching term, you can't ever outgive God. That's actually true. Believe, go ahead on and believe that. I'm serious. I've lived that in my own life. I could tell you stories for days. For those of you who can't read that, that says your vision. Now, are we just trying to do something cool and just be different? Not at all. Let me show you this. These resources that come back into the local church don't just come so we can be cooler, bigger, badder, more baller, none of that. It exists for this reason. Seven of them, in fact. I'm going to do my best to get these out here. To fund international missions. The Great Commission, Jesus said, is to go into all of the earth and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are many statistics if you research it. Do you know how much it costs to send one missionary for 1 year abroad on average? Now, it depends. It ranges greatly based on the country that they're sent to. But a rough estimate is $52,000 a year for one single missionary to live abroad and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, our church can't be sending any full-time missionaries right now. But little is much when God is in it. And he's given us a vision, I believe. Listen, I wouldn't, if somebody offered me $10 million in exchange for this vision, I would turn it down. Because I believe that what God has shown us is something that is exponentially greater. To fund international missions across the world. This church was planted out of a college movement called C4. It was an evangelistic movement that was planted at UNCC. It started with two kids in a Bible study, and it grew to over 300 people, much larger than our church is today. And it birthed our church. But I'm telling you, that is a mission field if ever there was one. The college campuses of America today are a great mission field. And this is a point in people's lives where they are volatile, where they are transitioning in their life, and they're searching desperately for purpose, searching desperately for their identity and understanding. And if we could reach them there, we can change the trajectory of their life forever. With this revenue, with this funding, I'm telling you, and many of our people know this, if we had the resources and the ability right now, we would be funding a full-time missionary on UNC Charlotte's campus right now to be with those kids Monday through Saturday, to be in their lives, to be invested, to see the sparks of revival flourish there. You cannot operate a college ministry efficiently on the side. You have to have boots on the ground. To do the ministry, you have to do it. Getting hyped. Events and conferences. How many of you guys remember Axiom Conference, right? How could you forget it? It was just a few months ago. Do y'all remember? We raised $50,000 to make it happen, which is a miracle. And God did it. And we did it. It took us a whole year to raise the money. But in this system, Axiom Conferences, which, by the way, won 24 people to the Lord Jesus Christ, could happen not just once a year, but happen very, very frequently. As frequently as the Lord wills and gives direction. Remember, vision is flexible. I can't sit up here and make all these promises to you. But what I can tell you is that this would fund the advancement of the gospel through mass corporate evangelism. All right? Evangelism. Hiring people. People that are on staff, that work around the clock, finding ways to evangelize and carry the gospel into our world. And funding the work of discipleship in the local church. You cannot, I'm a firm believer that discipleship does not happen accidentally. I believe that it happens naturally, but it happens intentionally. And the church has got to put a priority here. We have a vision of hiring men and women, pastors, people who are leaders, who have a pastoral heart, who have a heart for discipleship to be here. And listen, this is just literally the beginning of what it is able to do. I'm going to share two more things with you really quickly as the band comes back to help me close. When I was in Bible college, I was sitting there in a chapel service shortly after receiving this vision from God. And there was a man there, I forget his name, I could find it though. He leads one of the largest missions organizations in all of the world. And he was preaching a sermon to our whole chapel, our whole Bible college. He stops right in the middle. Stops right in the middle of his message. And he goes, God showed me that there's somebody in here and God has given you a vision that incorporates businesses with the advancement of the gospel. And he says, and I want you to know that that vision is from God and that the Lord will bless it greatly and it will generate hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars into the kingdom of our God. And at that time, the B word was a big number. It still is. But people in my class go, they did the double take like this. Have you ever seen somebody go, They looked at me. They knew that this vision that God had given it to me. But even hearing that, I didn't get goosebumps and take a lap around the building and say, "Well, I already knew that what God had shown me was from Him. I already knew. I didn't need Him to affirm it, although it was awesome." I'm going to share one last thought with you this morning. Right before we planted this church, we had a guest speaker come to C4 in some of its final services. And right in the middle of their sermon, they stopped again. And the minister said to me, she said, "Tyson, you and the work that you're about to do is Isaiah 49, which I'm going to read it to you right now. If you have your Bible, flip with me really quickly to Isaiah chapter 49. You won't see it on the screen because I didn't give them advance warning. Isaiah chapter 49, and we're going to pick up in verse 2. If I could get there, that'd be great. "He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword, and He hath hidden me in the shadow of His hand. I am like a sharp arrow in His quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, and you will bring me much glory.'" This person, in the middle of their sermon, stops right at C4, and she looks at me and says, "You are Isaiah 49. The church you're about to establish is Isaiah 49. And what she was saying is that this is like an arrow hidden in the shadow of His hand. And I don't know if you understand what she's really saying, but an arrow gains its power and its momentum and its velocity from being pulled backwards in the wrong direction and seemingly to be held there. I can't tell you how many times in the ministry since then we've set out to accomplish this, I have felt like we have just been pulled backwards and backwards and backwards, and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, is this going to work?" But I'm always reminded that an arrow gains its momentum and its velocity from being pulled backward in what seems to be the wrong direction, held there by the archer. And when it is released with a great force enough to carry it directly into the target that it was intended and purposed to hit. And that'll preach really good in your life, because many of you, like me, might be in this place and you say, "Well, I feel like my life is headed in the wrong direction. I'm not where I want to be in life. I'm not where I thought I'd be. I'm not as successful as I wanted to be. I feel like my life is moving in the wrong direction." Could it be that all the while you are an arrow hidden in the hand of an almighty God, and everything that you've experienced that's pulled you back has just been the setup for you to be launched and propelled into the purpose that God has for your life? You ought to give Him some praise. You ought to really praise the Lord. If you'd stand up to your feet this morning, there is a card in every one of your seats. It is like a little 3x5 card, blank, and you should have a pen there. The altar response this morning, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you today to prayerfully ask God and write it in a few words. What is your vision for my life? Not my plan, what is your vision for my life? And I want you to write it on that card. And when you're done, I want you to just drop it off here at the altar. When you're done, we're going to do something with it next week. But just in a few sentences, in a few words, I want you to write your vision, the vision that God has placed inside of you. I want you to write that down, and I want you to bring it forward when you're finished. And next week, we'll show you what we're going to do with that. Next Sunday is the third and final week of this series, and I'm going to be talking to you about our next steps. How in the world, a church of our size, a church like us, how in the world are we going to begin in the direction of fulfilling the vision that God has purposed for us? I believe it's going to be inspiring. It's going to be It's going to be exhilarating, and God has given us specific insight on how and what our next steps are as a church. Thank y'all for being with us this morning. Let's worship the Lord, and as the band continues, let's write out the vision that God has placed over our life and drop it here at the